the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. Yay. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido. Hello.
Hey, Gabby. Oh, my goodness.
I don't even know what day it is.
I know. I've gone back and forth. Is it Tuesday? Is it Wednesday? It's actually Wednesday, and already, I mean, we're into September. Way into September,
hey,
right?
My fall decor is out. I know you guys make fun of me because it's not the official day of fall, but in my mind, I'm already there.
I thought about you, Gabby, when we did our hurricane cleanup. My wreath on my front door was done, and I went ahead and put out the pumpkin wreath. And I thought about you as I hung it on my front door. Gabby would be proud of my pumpkin wreath.
Yeah.
Today is the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. What a beautiful day for us to start back at it and be live with you this morning on Catholic Community Radio. Let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Impart to your servants, we pray, O Lord, the gift of heavenly grace, that the feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin may bring deeper peace to those for whom the birth of her Son was the dawning of salvation. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lady, pray for us.
Pray for us. Wonderful. We have various amounts of resources for you today. Hurricane Ida, food distribution sites. Of course, we're keeping everyone in prayer, those who have been affected on the path of Hurricane Ida and on the road to recovery as well. So we have all of that wonderful information for you on what you can do today to get food and help those who need it the most. We are going to get updates from various parts of our listening area today. We're starting off at Notre Dame Seminary with Father Jim Wehner. He's a rector over at the seminary in New Orleans. He's going to tell us how they're doing so far, and I'm looking forward to getting an update from them. So that'll be in just a few minutes. Richard Meek with the Catholic Commentator will update us on what we'll find in this week's bi-weekly issue, and also some wonderful resources on Hurricane Ida. And David Dawson Jr. joins us. He is with the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux, and he's actually going to be in studio, Alicia.
Yeah,
I'm very excited to hear about him. Really, I kind of want to set the stage for the rest of the week. So we'll be talking to Bishop Faub later this week. It's actually going to be tomorrow on the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux and how they're doing. We'll be talking to Father David Ducote from La Place, various churches and schools in the Archdiocese of New Orleans and Houma-Thibodaux, just to see how we can help, what do they need, and just to get an update, because it's been a wild last few days.
It has, Gabby, but you know, one thing that there's just something about Louisiana. There's just something about, the Gulf Coast. It's just people are hurting and everybody jumps in. I mean, it's just we're seeing, people whose homes have been damaged, who are rolling up their sleeves and helping their neighbor whose home was also damaged. I mean, it's the resilience of Louisianians and Gulf Coast folks just never ceases to amaze me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just love reading every story and finding out how we can help, but seeing how people are being the hands and feet of Christ right here in our backyard. Yep.
Yes, definitely. I know there are various churches in the Diocese of Biloxi that are taking up donations. I know the Catholic schools in the Diocese of Biloxi are sponsoring and helping out the Catholic school in Houma-Thibodaux. So we'll give you all of those details as the days go on, so we can continue to help our brothers and sisters who need it the most. But we have your gospel and gospel reflection coming up right after the break. It's 7:05 on Wake Up.
Good morning and a blessed feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our gospel this morning comes from Matthew chapter 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham became the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah became the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez became the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab became the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz became the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed became the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of David, the king. David became the father of Solomon, whose mother had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon became the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asaph. Asaph became the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, Joram the father of Uzziah. Uzziah became the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah became the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amos, Amos the father of Josiah. Josiah became the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the Babylonian exile. After the Babylonian exile, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abiud. Abiud became the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok. Zadok became the father of Akim, Akim the father of Eliud, Eliud the father of Eleazar. Eleazar became the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
St. Matthew opens his gospel with Jesus' genealogy, which is purposely constructed in three groups of 14, which happens to be the numerical value of the letters that make up David's name in Hebrew. In this way, he emphasized that Jesus is the promised son of David, the Messiah. The first group of ancestors goes from Abraham to David. The second group of forefathers covers the period from David to the Babylonian exile in 586 BC. The final group of 14 goes from the exile to Jesus. In regard to Jesus' birth, St. Matthew affirms that Mary is the mother of God when he identifies Jesus as Emmanuel, that is, God with us. Now, some claim that we should only call Mary the mother of Jesus, not the mother of God. Please, women give birth to persons. In regard to the Blessed Mother, the second person of the Blessed Trinity assumed a human nature in her womb. Therefore, in giving birth to the Son of God in human form, Mary did indeed become the Mother of God. But this does not imply that Mary contributed to or is above Jesus' divinity. The logic is inescapable. 1. Statement 1. Mary is the mother of Jesus. Statement 2. Jesus is God. Conclusion. Hello, Mary is the mother of God. To logically deny the conclusion, one must deny either one or both of the first two statements. Claiming that Mary is only the mother of Jesus, but not the mother of God, leads to a denial of Jesus' divinity, or the error that the divine Son is one person and Jesus is a separate person. The grammatical structure of the Greek text captures Joseph's anguish over Mary's unexpected pregnancy. Joseph was plunged into the mystery of God's action. The apparent contradictions between whom he knew Mary to be, the physical evidence of the pregnancy, and his lack of understanding what God is doing. Then the light of divine revelation rescued Joseph. The Savior of the world was tabernacled in Mary's womb. All is indeed well, and Joseph will protect them. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for this morning's Gospel and Gospel Reflection. Gabby and I wanted to share some places where you can get food if you have been impacted by Ida. There are lots of wonderful things going on in the community. If you are in the New Orleans area, Second Harvest Food Bank, the best way to find out where they're providing food in your community is to call their partners at 211 for up-to-date information. And again, that Second Harvest, they have water and food and other supplies, but call them at 211 and you can get up-to-date information about that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And we're taking a look over at Lafitte, which had sustained damage, St. Anthony Church in Lafitte. Mm-hmm. They have hot meals and supplies. They've been available at the church hall. Of course, check daily with this on their Facebook page for up-to-date information. That's facebook.com/St. Anthony, St. Pius X Catholic Church. Or if you really need this information, please message us and we'll get that to you
as well. Our Lady of the Rosary Catholic Church on East Main in La Rose and La Rose Society sustained lots of damage. They have damage, but they're giving out water and meals today at around noon while supplies last with the help of some religious sisters. So the meals today, the meal today is fried chicken and Cajun rice. So again, that is Our Lady of the Rosary on East Main in La Rose, and that's while it lasts.
Yeah, and I've been seeing this a lot. Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Houma-Thibodeau is doing such a great job. If you're in the Diocese of Houma-Thibodeau, you can text IDA Relief to 84576, and they'll give you updates, and they'll send you text messages on where to get food and supplies for that day. So that's text IDA Relief at 84576. So great resources, yes, Alicia.
There are. And we'll share some more. Gabby will put links. But again, if you are in need, give us a call. Message us on Facebook. We'd be glad to share some resources with you. It is 7:15 on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 8th. Today we celebrate the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We know nothing of the circumstances of Mary's birth, but the Church holds the Blessed Mother in such high esteem that it has long celebrated her birth on this date, which comes exactly 9 months after the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. The so-called Gospel of James, dating from the 2nd century, reported that Anna and Joachim were the parents of Mary. Though the work has no historical value, it reflects the long-held devotion to Mary in both the Eastern and Western churches. We also remain unclear about where Mary was born. Ancient traditions suggest either Nazareth or Jerusalem. We can see every human birth as a call for new hope in the world. This is true in a magnificent way in Mary. If Jesus is the perfect expression of God's love, Mary is the foreshadowing of that love. If Jesus has brought the fullness of salvation, Mary is its dawning. Next to the birth of Jesus, Mary's birth offers the greatest possible happiness to the world. Each time we celebrate her birth, we can confidently hope for an increase of peace in our hearts and in the world at large. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:19 on Wake Up. Thank you so much for tuning in on this beautiful Wednesday morning. I'm Gabby Smith along with Alicia Quibodeau. And over the phone, we have Father Jim Wehner. He is a rector over at Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans for an update, because we definitely want to know how the seminary is doing, how the seminarians are doing, and of course, Father Jim Wehner. So good morning, Father Wehner. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Gabby, Alicia. Good to be with you all this morning.
It's so good to have you with us. And I know we've been keeping it up to date. The Archdiocese has been doing a very good job with keeping all of us on social media up to date who are not in the Archdiocese or maybe at home or are away from home to see what the Archbishop is up to and helping those in the community because we know that the Archdiocese is also in La Place, various parts of New Orleans, the West Bank and beyond. So Father Wehner, give us an update. How is the seminary doing?
Yeah, so good. Thank you. So actually, the day before the storm, as we all know, this came so quickly the intensified aspect of the storm was unknown until really the day before. So about 30 seminarians, we have 130 that are here, about 30 of them were able to go home because they were able to get out more quickly. So the rest of us stayed here, of course, through the storm. And then when it was announced that from Entergy that this could be a 3 to 4 week delay in getting power back on Tuesday morning, I sent all the seminarians home because of the fact that food service, we only had enough food for a few more days. With the freezers and the power down, the food obviously would no longer be good. Mm-hmm. We did some initial recovery in the neighborhood around us. The street of Carrollton right out front was not passable. So we spent a day just, clearing the debris from the streets, from our own campus, from some of our neighbors. And then the next morning, everyone basically left. Now, one day later, the power actually came on because we have the nursing home that's right behind us, Chateau Notre Dame. And so the whole block was put back online. So then I invited the seminarians to come back. So they're actually all due back this Saturday. Now, in the meantime, almost every day we've been going to La Place or down to HOMA in small groups. I have now about 30 seminarians are now on campus. So we've been going out in groups after speaking with pastors in both of those areas. So when the seminarians come back, every seminarian has an apostolate, a pastoral formation assignment. Mm-hmm. We're going to suspend those, and between now and Christmas, every weekend, we're going to be going out to do relief and recovery. The priest here in charge of pastoral formation, Father Joe Kraft, he's been already talking with pastors. We don't want to interfere or get in the way, but at the same time, if we can be a spiritual support, the guys wearing their collars, but also secondly, physical support of just removing debris, ripping out drywall. So whatever the needs are going to be. Yesterday, Second Harvest was here distributing food, so we've been helping with that. The local city councilman had arranged last week a distribution of materials, tarps. So we've been doing our best to not be spectators, but to be involved with the recovery.
The first thing that popped in my head was that's exactly what Jesus would do, go out and help the neighbor as well. So is there anything you need from us? Because you're going to those hard-hitting areas every weekend. Are you taking supplies with you? Do you need any resources? What are you looking for?
Yeah, so what we did, I just had our development office put it on our website. If anybody would like to donate funds, and those funds would be 100% used for us to buy cases of water, tolls, and then the things that we need to go into the neighborhood. So that would help supply the seminarians with what they need in order to offer the practical help. Or secondly, people have been just dropping things off right here at the seminary, cases of water and those types of things. So that's one way if people want to help us. I know there are so many relief efforts underway right now, parishes, different organizations. So we don't want to pull away from any of that. But that's one way people could help if they want to provide us either the funds or the actual materials that we can use to go into these places.
And where can they visit your website to make a donation, Father?
Yeah, if they just Google in Notre Dame Seminary, they'll come up and just click on the website. It'll be right there on the main page to offer that. You mentioned, that's what Jesus would do. His last encyclical, Pope John Paul II, his very last encyclical was on the Eucharist. And there's a little reflection on there that the Eucharist should never have Catholics turning in on themselves. As a matter of fact, the Eucharist moves us outwards. And that's very dear to Pope Francis. A church that is not going to isolate. He says, if that happens, we become a museum. We become something you just look at. So we talk about that here at the seminary. That during times of crisis, catastrophe, devastation, the clergy particularly needs to be very, very present with her people, not to run away, not to flee, but rather to go towards the flock and towards the people. So that's the practical way in which we've been emphasizing pastoral formation here.
So when does formation start again as far as the seminarians back into class and them continuing?
Yeah, so this week going on, it's virtual. So our professors, you know, they had to leave with their families, so they're all over the place throughout the South here. So they are recording lectures or delivering them through Zoom and live streaming. All the seminarians are due back this Saturday, so that's 130 of them. Sunday we'll have sort of a day of recollection just to get ourselves back on board. Classes start next Monday, and then as I mentioned, that weekend afterwards, the weekend of the 12th, 13th, we'll begin our outreach, and that will happen every weekend up till Christmas.
Wow. I know that all of us are refreshing that Entergy Power outage map as well, but yes. It has been so interesting seeing so many places get power back so quickly. I know a lot of places in New Orleans still do not have power, but it's so great to hear that from the seminarians. I know a lot of Catholic schools in the Archdiocese are starting school next week, so that's a great news for a lot of areas and for parents and kids as well. So, Father Jim Wehner, looking ahead, I know that we have various things in the at Notre Dame Seminary for the fall. I know the Christmas lunch and everything. Are you continuing to do events and gatherings like that in the midst of a pandemic? Because I forgot there was a pandemic, to be honest with you, when we were talking about Hurricane Ida relief. But just looking ahead.
Yeah, so we have sort of the annual phone-a-thon, which obviously we're going to suspend that. That was supposed to be next week. That's all. People don't need to be getting a phone call asking for money. So we'll delay that. The Christmas luncheon at the Roosevelt Hotel, that is still scheduled. That's for the end of November, our gala in the spring. But yes, the pandemic is still underway. So we follow very strictly the civic instructions that we get from our political leaders. So, you know, we're compliant. So as the time gets closer, if there's an issue, we'll have to certainly continue delaying those functions. The morning news tells us that in the city of New Orleans, 65% of households now have power. And across the street when they were here, that was a crew from North Carolina. So we're very grateful that from around the country, different crews were coming in. And so we went over to thank that crew as they were putting the poles back up. So I think gratitude is a virtue, right? So I think we all have to be grateful for God's blessings to us. And today, the feast of Our Lady's birthday, her nativity, we're the only seminary in the country that's Notre Dame, meaning Our Lady. There are other St. Mary's seminaries, but Our Lady, that's reflecting the Queen Mother, you know, so she's the mother of the church, the mother of clergy, the mother of all of us. So what a great day to honor her as we ask for her intercession for recovery for all those who've been affected.
Wow, wonderful. And you can go to nds.edu to take a look at that for a donation, because they do go every weekend to go to the hard-hitting areas and help those who need it the most. So just wonderful, wonderful update. Father Jim Wehner, rector over at Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans, may we ask for a priestly blessing before we let you go?
Thank you, Gabby, Alicia. Absolutely. So to all of us, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dearest Heavenly Father, you've given the world the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. He gave us his life and our faith. And you've given us the great gift of the Blessed Virgin Mary as the world honors her today with her nativity. Lord, we ask your blessings upon those who are in recovery, for those first responders and those who are helping with recovery. We pray for an increase of faith, hope, and charity. that with all of the dysfunction that we see in our world, that the presence of your kingdom will shine more brightly in the way we Christians celebrate and live our faith. And may Almighty God bless us all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Jim. You can count on our prayers.
Absolutely. Thank you, and thank you for your apostolate there and bringing us each day and every day the good news. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Wonderful update. So great to hear. I love hearing about it. NDS.edu, so you can take a look at that on our Facebook page. We have it in a comment section for today's Facebook Live video. We have Richard Meek with the Catholic Commentator. He joins us right after the break from the Diocese of Baton Rouge. It's 7:30 on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Tuesday, Mexico's Supreme Court reversed parts of a Mexican state's pro-life law punishing abortionists. Until now, Mexican states have been allowed to make their own abortion laws, but eugenic, big-money abortion groups have been pressuring Mexico to fling open their doors to abortion. A Rasmussen poll over the weekend concurs with previous U.S. polling and finds 46-43, most Americans support the new Texas heartbeat abortion ban. While feds continue seeking ways to reverse Texas law, Governor Greg Abbott continues defending his state's actions. And following other Texas abortion restrictions, Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota is using executive order to ban webcam mail order chemical abortions. This is Life News Radio. A culture of life has a rarely mentioned but very formidable enemy. Pornography is material that deceives its consumers into thinking that they possess beauty, while the reality is they are possessed by a lie. The first step may be to talk openly with your pastor or confessor. Reject the lie and recognize that a culture of life relies upon you. While the opposite is true, one media outlet is trying to sell abortion as good for the economy. Former Planned Parenthood worker Abby Johnson has a different take, drawn from her view inside the abortion industry and now within the abortion abolition movement. Abby Johnson slams abortion work as simply demonic. Other stories at Life News show the New York Times giving tacit admission that human life begins at conception. And Terry McAuliffe, running for governor of Virginia, continues describing himself as a brick wall against any restrictions on abortion. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
It is 7:35 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in on this beautiful Wednesday morning. I'm joined by Richard Meek, editor of the Catholic Commentator, the official Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. Hope everyone is well on this Wednesday morning.
Yeah, how about that?
No, not Tuesday.
It's Wednesday. Oh,
yeah.
You made it through okay, Richard?
I did. You know, I live over in Ponchatoula, so there's a little, you know, a few anxious moments, but really all is good. Very blessed, extremely blessed. And I see everything, obviously, you know, working for the paper, you're all taking a lot of pictures. And I tell you, the destruction is just widespread. So I'm just thank God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I know you and I have been letting each other know that we're okay and keeping up to date since the hurricane. I'm glad to know you're doing well. And glad to see that there is a Catholic Commentator issue coming out. And I want to start off with Hurricane Ida coverage. So what can we find in this week's issue?
Well, there's a lot of coverage, a lot of pictures. We did sort of a wrap-up as far as, you know, who was affected. We didn't list all the parishes, but there are at least 13, 14 parishes and schools that were affected. Then we also have a little story on the schools. I mean, that's pretty interesting, which I did not know. But schools open at their own pace. So it's not like a public school system, hey, whatever day it is, this is when we're going to open. And because the reason is if the school's ready to go, they want to serve those kids as quickly as they can. And I think it really speaks to the mission of the Catholic Schools Office and a devotion, you know, starting with Dr. Palmisano. And then they have a story right with the Franciscan Health System. I mean, they have very, you know, several facilities around, and they really fared well except for a medical clinic down in Gonzales and down in Napoleonville, took some roof damage, but they were taking several patients from Terrebonne General because they had to evacuate down there and they had the room for them. It's really remarkable what those guys did during the storm.
Wow.
So yes, so it was. It's tough. It's going to be a long way back.
Mm-hmm. We'll definitely help each other along the way, though. And, you know, I want to know, what does Bishop Duca have to say about post-hurricane relief and damage in the area?
I got to tell you, his column really made me think. And of course, that gives me a headache. No, I'm just kidding. But it was remarkable what he said, because I never really looked at it this way. But he's talking about that people want to get this hurricane. It's something out, you know, after the pandemic, people are always looking to get back to normal, right? And he said, when you just focus on that, that frustration can rob you of peace of mind. And what he's saying is, stop trying to make our life normal, per se, and to just, you know, if normal is our goal, we're not thinking about everyone else. And so as normal, our new normal should be reaching out to people, loving our neighbor. What do you need? How can I help you? And really be there for others. Stop working for the restoration of our sense and take a moment to see those sufferings and reach out to them. And he says it all falls back into what St. Paul says, when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it that way, like I was reading this column and I got goosebumps. Like, this is awesome. I never really thought about it like that before.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, Richard, we can't forget what's coming up in just a few days, September 11th, and we reflect 20 years later. I can't believe it's been 20 years. We'll never forget that day and where we were. Tell us about, you have a story of a family recalling this tragic day.
Yes, there's a gentleman, Scott LaManna. He was a Catholic High graduate, went to LSU. He was a cheerleader at LSU, and he was working in the Pentagon. And, of course, he was killed when, when a plane struck. He had served in the Persian Gulf War, was one of the youngest flight instructors in the Navy, just a phenomenal individual, right? And they said one of his coworkers had even said, one of the survivors, that he was always looking out for people to the very end, because after the first reports of the attack came, he protected others in his office by telling them, just, you know, get out of the office, let me do my job. And his job was to track planes or whatever. And so those people survived because of his actions, because of his words. And so what happens, following the attacks, the Pentagon flew a flag in memory of each person who was lost. The flag was presented to the family, and they donated it to St. Aloysius, where Scott went. So it's typically displayed in the school case, but on September 11th, on a preceding Friday, like this year, it is actually flown outside. And then Catholic High also does something. And Scott's dad talked about how you make adjustments as time heals, but you never completely get over the loss of a child, obviously. And I thought his final words were awesome. He just said, never lose your faith, because that's what carries you through. And I thought that was so awesome. Even 20 years later, you know, the pain is there. I mean, it's got to be.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, what a story. I had no idea.
So, right. It's awesome.
We're going to definitely take a look at that one, Richard. Let's talk about Bishop Duca and how he's reflecting on his first years in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, it's interesting because I sat down with him and I said, I really want to do this story because you've been here 3 years. Now, 3 years isn't a milestone. Mm-hmm. Sit down, hey, let's do an anniversary story. But I said, Bishop, look at your first 3 years. And what he has said, as soon as he got here, was when the time they were putting together the list of nationwide, all the dioceses were putting together a list of priests to it. You know, abuses in the past. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing he jumped into. And then let's go into COVID, and let's go into racial unrest, and then let's go into Hurricane Ida. And then we had the, so it's just, it's crazy. He talked about that. He really touched on everything and some of the difficult financial decisions he had to make in the wake of COVID and the loss of revenue. I got to tell you, he was completely open and honest. He gives you a look inside his heart. And you realize what a good man he is and how holy he is and how he's driven by the Holy Spirit. It was it was a different insight, and just to be able to sit down with him was awesome. And he talked about those difficulties. Those were tough. There have been a lot of tough times. He said he just wants to get to have a normal year, whatever that would be.
That would be wonderful. Okay, so this next question is kind of rhetorical, but, you know, how is the Zachary Adoration Chapel helping people?
Well, what they did, this was pretty neat. So St. John and Zachary, they built a new church several years ago, and I hope people have had the chance to see it, because it really is, you know, that St. George is just awesome churches. And, you know, St. John is certainly is fabulous. But so the question became, what do you do with the old church? And so some people from the Paris School of Religion and Director of Office Religious Education, they spearheaded a project where they said they're going to take some areas and renovate part of the old church. They wrote a proposal to Father Jeff Bahi. And of course, he signed off on it, and to reutilize what had been sort of the overflow portion of the church. And so, what it is it's an adoration chapel. It features an ornate tabernacle that looks beautiful. It's about 400 years old. It came from Spain, and so wrapped around the monstrance is a cloth. And so, it's one of those places where people go. It's 24-hour adoration that can get in. And it's just that we all need adoration sometimes. And we just need that peace and quiet, right? Just turn everything off for a while. Don't walk into the adoration chapel with your cell phone. And so it's really a beautiful place. And the parishioners have just absolutely embraced it, talking about how it's just a wonderful place to go.
Oh, wonderful. And I know that we have a story on the Legion of Mary that we'll read about in the Catholic Commentator. Richard, where can we go to read that story and so many others?
Well, you can go to news.diobr.org is our website. And, of course, the paper is available through about 100 retail outlets throughout the diocese and in the back of all churches.
Wonderful. Richard Meek with the Catholic Commentator, thanks so much for joining us. It's 7:45 on Wake Up.
Good morning. It's 7:48. Thank you so much for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio. You're listening to Wake Up. We're joined this morning in our Baton Rouge studio with our friend from down the bayou, David Dawson Jr. He is the Director of Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. And he is misplaced right now or replaced,
right?
Something like that. So your family is here in Baton Rouge,
right,
seeking a little refuge and some power, right?
Yes. We're at my parents' house here in Baton Rouge. We just got back from Atlanta, but we had originally evacuated. So we've got 8 little ones, and so it's quite a parade wherever we go. So we have to think through it well. Yeah.
Well, that's great. And so your home is just a personal update. You're good. Your home is good.
Our home has minimal damage, and so we're very grateful. You know, because that's not the case in most of the dioceses there.
Right.
But working in the Office of Parish Support also puts me on the disaster relief team for the diocese, and so I've been doing a lot of remote work. But we've got a number of folks who are on the ground there. And doing a lot of work and trying to get organized. And it's been hard, but these people have been working tirelessly, for just a decimated area, a lot of our churches, a lot of our communities.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And so for our listeners out there who have been, you know, like us and some of us in Baton Rouge, really, we were without power. We're back. We're good. How can we help our friends in Houma-Thibodaux?
Sure. Well, there's a few different opportunities. I mean, obviously, donating is certainly great. We've got our Catholic Charities in Houma-Thibodaux is working very closely with the Catholic Charities in Acadiana, the Lafayette Diocese. So if you go to htdiocese.org, so Houma-Thibodaux Diocese, htdiocese.org, you'll see plenty of opportunities to donate money. We've got food and supplies that we're receiving from all over the country. People are coming in to help clean up. So the volunteer work's coming. Obviously, it has to be, I think the best way to provide that is through Catholic Charities, just because they're going to be coordinating all those efforts. I think a lot of times in situations like this, we have people who are very, if you honestly, we're getting most of our, I say most, I don't know, a whole lot of feedback, a whole lot of response from Lake Charles, which was, at first was a surprise, but then I remembered, you know, during, after Katrina, anybody who had any disasters after that, it was like, even if we were evacuated, we wanted to help because we knew what it felt like.
Yes.
Lake Charles has been responding. I mean, they already sent a team from the Catholic Charities office and has been there. Yeah.
Because they're materials. Still recovering in their
they
own.
Are. Oh, my very much goodness. So. Very much so.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So are there any areas that are really hard hit that you know, churches or that
yes.
that really need our...
Almost all of our churches have significant damage.
Wow.
Yes. And our schools as well. Although a lot of work has already been done. And so if power comes back on, most of our churches will be able to function.
Okay.
But there's a good percentage that will not because of the damage that,
my goodness.
So we're actually in the process of twinning our parishes with parishes around the country who've been willing to connect and kind of adopt our parishes and
awesome.
Provide support. So this, we it's funny, we had started the process and we're starting to kind of just beginning to look and try to get parishes who might be interested. Well, there was a priest, a friend of mine in Lake Charles, who was discussing this with the diocese and with a number of priests in Lafayette who had actually started to do the same thing.
Oh, wow.
So we already have a number of our parishes have been twinned with parishes in Lake Charles Diocese and Lafayette Diocese who have started to take a kind of ownership of the process. And right now, the initial process is food, water, ice, tarps, and kind of the communal needs, just shelter. Whereas over time, it will grow into, okay, now we've got our feet under us, we kind of get a sense for what the needs are going to be long term, and we're hoping that these twinning relationships will be sustainable long term. So that's what we're in the process
that's
of doing.
Beautiful.
Yes. So if anybody in listening is involved in their diocese, in their parish, and is interested in twinning, we've got an email address that's specifically set up to receive those requests. So it's twin@htdiocese.org. So if you are in a parish or you're involved at all and you think your parish might be interested, send us an email, twin@htdiocese.org, and we'll connect them with a parish who needs it. Because a number of our parishes do, and they've not been twinned yet. A number of them that have, which is beautiful.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, and so twinning up with a parish can be financial needs, manpower, but prayer is probably a big part
Absolutely.
Of that.
Absolutely. The reason it's such a gift is because it provides a relationship. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think for most of us, we want to give now, which is helpful. But usually when a disaster like this hits, we're kind of filled with a compassion. We want to get in. We want to help. Mm-hmm. But typically, and it's just a human thing, over a few days, you know, when we still have power wherever we are and our air conditioning is working, it's easy to forget.
Yes,
and it's easy to lose sight unless you're in it. So we have this initial flood of people who want to come in and help. Mm-hmm. But if there's not like a human connection, relationships being built, it can be easy to forget. And the initial flood can be overwhelming sometimes for the receiving parishes in the diocese because they're still trying to figure out where the roof is, you know, and how to get water and those kind of things. And so the organization can take, you know, a few days. And so we're just getting to a point where these things are being coordinated and we have a general sense, and you can see on our website where food is being distributed, where you can get water and tarps and those kind of things. So that's just getting off the ground in the twinning process. Most of our parishes have been contacted, and these parishes who are willing to twin have been sending trucks with materials and those kind of
that's
things and crews to help. Yeah, it's been beautiful.
Wow. Tell us that email address again. If your parish may be interested, if you're at all interested, share with your pastor, share with your parish. Tell us that email address.
Yes, it's twin@htdiocese.org.
Okay.
Yes.
I love that.
Another important place to let folks know, if you're in the Houma-Thibodeau Diocese and you need some assistance, what's a good way to stay in touch with
Yes.
folks?
Yes, so a couple of different things. First, you can go to htdiocese.org, sign up for, and you can see information that's listed there. It's updated daily. You could also sign up for updates there via text, or you could text IDA Relief to 84576. You text IDA Relief to 84576, and you can sign up there for updates to get a sense for where that's coming
from. And so folks who maybe don't have internet yet, But you do have cell service. The text might be a great way. That's IDA Relief at 84576. Another good way, it seems like Facebook has been, social media outlets have been update. The Diocese of Houma Thibodaux has done a great job of daily letting you know there are churches. You know, everybody, as Dave's saying, everybody has been hit in the diocese, but boy, they're still out there serving each other. Absolutely. So there's some place in Houma Thibodaux where you can find a warm meal for lunch. Just check out the HT
diocese.org
website, or go to Facebook and look up the Houma Thibodaux, Diocese of Houma Thibodaux, and you'll find out where you can find a warm meal and maybe a tarp or bottle of water.
That's right. And in case you're wondering about the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux, it stretches from Luling, is the southernmost of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, so just south of Luling, all the way down to the coast, down to Grand Isle. Okay. So you can imagine just the devastation that they've experienced. That the eye of the storm kind of went up the bayou, you know, into the area. So, So it's been, but like I think the people here in a lot of places in Louisiana, you know, are very resilient, and nobody wants to do this by themselves. And this is what I noticed when we were visiting and helping on Lake Charles too, is that you know, the people are, even people who are in terrible situations, their spirits are still good because they know they're not alone.
That's right.
Right. So I think that's certainly been the case, and. It's been beautiful to see the help come pouring in. And even when, you know, it can be overwhelming to know what to do with it all sometimes, especially at first, it's still such a blessing to know that people are thinking about you.
Absolutely.
I think there's nothing better than to know that people are thinking about us and willing to just drop everything and come, or drop everything and send just the massive amounts of help.
Yes.
I think what our efforts now is to try to make sure that is sustainable over time, which is this twinning process is going to be our major help, because our parish is very much kind of centers of understanding the need in each particular community and that kind of thing. So looking forward to taking advantage of that.
Wonderful. David Dawson, Jr., Director of Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. Thank you so much for updating us.
Thank
we'll be praying for you and your family and all the folks in the diocese there. We're going to close with prayer. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most chaste spouse of the Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who implored your help or sought your intercession was left unassisted. Full of confidence in your power, I fly unto you and beg your protection. Despise not, O foster father of the Redeemer, my humble supplication, but in your bounty, hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us.
Pray for us. Wonderful. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.